Hey, good morning, church. Great to be with you this morning. My name is John, if we haven't met before. And before we jump into God's amazing word, I want to just remind us all, invite us all. We have a way that we're reaching out to the world, the name of Christ this Christmas. And it is called Operation Christmas Child. And if you saw the huge stack of boxes in the back there on the way in, that's what this is all about, where we are inviting everyone to participate, where you get one of these boxes from the patio and you fill it with stuff for a child in need around the world. You can put school supplies in there and necessities. You can put a toy that's like the wow factor toy for them. And then Operation Christmas Child puts in a message of God's hope through Jesus Christ. It gets handed out through local church movements around the world. And our goal this year as a church, it's a jump goal for us, is we'd love to hand out 1,500 Operation Christmas Child boxes this year, which is a few hundred more than we've ever done before. And so we're inviting everyone to be a part of it. And it's a pretty awesome ministry that where we can all be a part of Encounter Kids worldwide, basically. And if you're super busy and don't have a time to fill a box on your own, you can just follow that QR code. In fact, here's what I want you to do this morning. Take out your phones, whether you're going to do this or not, because I want to show you something online here. Everybody take out your phones, hold them up so I see you're out there. How often does a pastor tell you to take out your phone in church, okay? So this is a good thing. And I want you to scan that code right there with me, just like I'm doing it right now. And it'll take you to the Operation Christmas Child site for our church. And it gives a little digital number there of how many digital boxes have been filled. And basically for $25, Operation Christmas Child will fill a box for you. And while you're doing that, if you have your cell phone in your hands, I also want you to text Pastor Jacob your favorite worship song for Christmas, okay? And so his cell number is 805-205-5. No, I'm not going to give you Pastor Jacob's number. Hey, but can we give a huge hand for Pastor Jacob, our worship pastor, and the worship team? Thankful for them. Can you imagine having to navigate the preferences of like 500 adults every Sunday morning in worship? He has a special heart in drawing us into the heart of the Lord together. You know, this last week for Operation Christmas Child, my wife Amy and I, we went out. We had a just incredible date together. And then afterwards, we went to the store and got supplies to fill some boxes for us. Just a great thing to do together. And you can actually track where your box ends up in the world. You pray for the child who's going to get your box. You can put your picture in there. You can write a note to them. It's a pretty incredible ministry. And so help us to bless. If all of us were to do one box, I'm pretty sure we could hit our goal today. And so just with all the different people we have in our church family. So hope you'll be a part of that as a church family. And it's an exciting thing that we're doing to reach out to children around the world and let them know how much Jesus loves them. Well, you know, I heard one of those proverbial stories of this man who got stranded on a deserted island, that proverbial deserted island out in the Pacific somewhere. And he was there for years and years and years and waiting to be rescued. And then one day, he's standing on the shoreline. He sees a boat in the distance. He lights his signal fire, and the ship sees the fire, comes into shore, and the captain comes on the island. He greets this man who's been on this island as a castaway for years and years. He's all disheveled looking, and they have this great welcome. And the captain notices that this guy had built these three huts on the shoreline of this little island. And so he asks this castaway, well, what are those three huts over there? And this man who'd been on this island for all these years, he says, well, that first one there is my house. And the captain of the ship's like, well, that's so cool. You had a place to live all these years on this island. He goes, well, what's the second hut? And the guy looks at the second, he goes, well, that's my church. And the captain's like, well, that is so cool that you had a place to go to church all by yourself. That's pretty awesome. And he goes, well, what's the third hut? And the man looks at the third hut, he says, well, that's the church I used to go to. But I got tired of the membership, right? So, you know, it's a sad and true statement that sometimes churches, church families, and even families have a reputation for not getting along. It's called being a family. In fact, you can look at church history throughout history, and entire church movements have started from a split of churches along the way. And we may chuckle a little bit at that joke, but inside, if you've ever experienced a breakup like that in a church or even in your own family, you know the pain and the disillusionment that follows a time where there's chaos and turmoil and your relationships are turned upside down, and how when we face conflict in relationships, we really do have these things go through our life where the peace that we normally feel in life just gets ripped away. Our thoughts are dominated often by the conflict that we are facing at the time. And this morning, in God's Word, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verses 1 through 9, it's got some verses in there that are super, super famous with people. But rarely do we read the whole passage together, because in these verses, when you read them all together, what God does is he gives us some powerful, powerful actions that help connect us to the peace of God when our relationships are turning upside down and in chaos or disagreement or whatever it may be. And so my question for you as we begin is, are you ready for a little God-given peace in your life today? Well, I hope you are. So why don't you stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. We are in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul writing, led by the Holy Spirit, to the church in Philippi, and this is what he says this morning. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord, these two women who are part of the church there. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? Before we pray together, I want to invite you to bring to mind a relationship that you have right now that maybe isn't going like you would hope it is. Whether it's at work or at home or with a friend, where there is some disagreement. And I would just ask you to invite the Lord into that situation with you through his word today. Ask the Lord to speak to you. Ask him to give you your heart, his heart, for the situation. Lord, we just invite you to speak into this moment today. We thank you that we can gather as your people, and we thank you that we can experience your peace. And we just give these next few moments to you, Lord, and ask you to work. In your precious name we pray, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, when you read Philippians chapter 4 and you begin in these verses, it's almost shocking at first that the Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippian church, would name these two individual women who are having a dispute with one another publicly in front of everyone. And it would almost be like if the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, wrote a letter to Encounter, and he named two of you who are in church today by name who are having an argument with each other, and it got recorded in Scripture for all eternity. Can you imagine? I mean, it'd be kind of crazy. It'd be like me calling out two of you today in front of everyone and saying, you guys need to work this out. And yet, as we read it, it's not shocking. And this is the reason it's not shocking. Because everyone in the Philippian church family knew exactly what was going on. This dispute that's going on between these two people is not a secret. It is public. And it is stealing the peace out of everyone's relationships who are connected to these two women, and everybody knows about it, and it doesn't have to do apparently with a doctrinal issue, a theological issue, because the Apostle Paul would have addressed that like he does in so many other places in the Bible, and we don't know what it was about, what the argument was about, but apparently it must have been pretty big, because the Apostle Paul is under house arrest in Rome under threat of his life, and he hears about it 900 miles away. And since we don't know what it is, what the dispute was about, we can only speculate in maybe a little bit of biblical gossip this morning, because maybe Euodia and Syntyche are arguing over, let's say, maybe Euodia found out that Syntyche was getting married, and she didn't get an invitation to the wedding, but all of her other friends got an invitation to the wedding. Or maybe Euodia started a business, a tech company, and she created a logo. And then Syntyche started a software company, and she created a logo. And it looked just like Euodia's logo, and they're arguing who is going to have to give up their logo. And they both are divided from one another. They're both strong leaders, and no one is backing down. And whatever it is, they're creating alliances with each other, and it is stealing the peace and the joy from everyone around them. And that is what happens when someone's arguing in your house, isn't it? Doesn't matter whether it's a church house or whether it's the house you live in the kitchen you stand in most of the time. When there's something going on with somebody in the house, it affects and touches everybody else around you. And in this message series that we're in, we're calling it Level Up. And I'm inviting everyone, even if this is your first Sunday with us, to memorize our theme verse for this season. And it's this, it's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. It's super simple, super easy. It goes like this: practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Why don't you say it out loud with me, loud and proud. Let's go. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. And that these things that are being spoken about in this verse are some spiritual qualities, like fruit of the Spirit, like peace, that God loves to build in us through His Spirit in every season of our life. And we're to practice them. And often God gives us spiritual practices like going to church or reading the Bible or being in a small group that are part of the soil that God uses to develop His Christ-like characters in us as we're using our gifts in every aspect of our life. And when the Bible says so that all may see your progress, it's not, hey, look at me and how great I am. What the Bible is focusing on there is when we let Jesus change our life, and we build Christ-like, when God builds His Christ-like characteristics in us, it not only changes us, but it changes everyone around us. It touches all the lives that God has that are under the influence of our life with Him. And so in this case, Paul says this in verse 3. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Meaning, you know what's going down, they know what's going down. Help these two people to see their dispute in light of who Jesus Christ is. And that word help literally means arrest them, seize them. It means lovingly knock some sense into them and help them to remember where they're from. They're citizens of heaven. And help them remember where they're going. Their names are written in the book of life, he says. Help them to remember the gospel and what Jesus has done in forgiving us and serving us all the way to the cross, and so that we forgive one another and serve one another. And the reason he says all this starts back in verse 1. He says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. And so here you have the Apostle Paul. He's bringing this letter to the Philippian church to a close. He's reminding everyone how much he loves everybody in this church family, and yet he's not shying away from the elephant in the room, which is this big dispute that's affecting everybody in this community. And so he tells them to stand firm together and not to be divided. And we also are called to stand firm. And when you first hear stand firm, it almost sounds like it's a defensive position that we're going to take that's going to hold the community and hold our relationship together. But what God has actually given us in these verses is pretty powerful. He's actually wanting us to go on offense. So that no matter what situation we may walk into when it comes to relational upheaval or being destabilized with some of our relationships around us, that we have some things with us in any situation that we go to that connects our situation to God's peace, which is one of his fruit of the Spirit that he loves to build in us as he's building his Christ-like character in us. And every one of the things, these tools that we're going to be given today are available to everyone in this room. Everybody who knows that Jesus Christ went on the greatest rescue mission ever accomplished on the face of this planet and going to the cross for our sins and dying for us and rising for us and now inviting anyone who would come to him and receive his gift of grace through faith where we trust in him as our Savior and through repentance where we ask for forgiveness to come into an eternal relationship with him where he begins to pour his Spirit into us. You could think of it this way. If a vessel wants to navigate in an unstable environment, it has to have strong stabilizers within. So think about this. How many of you have ever been on an airplane and you've hit turbulence? Raise your hands. I mean like bad turbulence, you know, where the plane's going crazy. Have you ever wanted to grab the hand of a stranger next to you in that moment? You know, like you're by yourself. I mean, it's pretty crazy. But actually what rescues you in that moment are the back fins of the airplane. Because that horizontal fin, or vertical fin in the back, is what keeps you from bouncing left to right, you know, even more. And that, those two horizontal fins in the back are what keep you from bouncing up and down. And the more turbulence in the air, the more effective your stabilizers need to be. And God's peace is one of our stabilizers when we go through difficult relationships. And Paul, who is writing this, is in this tremendously unstable time in his life as he's under house arrest, under the threat of his life, and yet somehow, in all kinds of turbulence around him, somehow he is a rock through Jesus Christ. And God is wanting to connect us this morning to the rock of his peace through his Spirit. And so he tells us to stand firm, and he gives us some ways to really level up in the peace of God in our life and invite him to work. And the first one is this: by agreeing in the Lord with greater purpose. Look at verse 2. It says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. This passage this morning is a great example of the difference between horses and donkeys when they're threatened by something. If you have a group of horses and they're threatened, per se, like by a pack of wolves, what horses will do is they'll face each other and kick the wolves to protect one another. But if you have a group of donkeys and they are being threatened by a pack of wolves, they will actually face the wolves and kick each other. And part of what the Apostle Paul is saying is sometimes when we get into disagreements with each other, we tend to play the donkey and not the stallion. And we have a tendency to hurt the people we love the most that we should be standing with together. And so Paul says, agree, and this is key, in the Lord. He doesn't say agree on everything. He doesn't even say agree with each other. He says agree in the Lord. Remember what you have common in the grace of Jesus Christ. And that every moment on this earth is about living for the glory of God and loving him with your life. And Paul knows that the person and the work of Christ alive in us is bigger than all of our differences of opinion. And in a group of this size, there are some of you in this room and you lean left politically. There are others of you in this room and you lean right politically. There are some of you in the room who are Rams fans, and I'm so sorry if that is you. And there are some of you in the room who are Niners fans or Raiders fans or Chargers fans or whatever it may be. There are some of you in the room who wish we would talk more about this topic. And there are others of you in the room who wish we would talk less about that topic. And what's required, though, is that we agree in the Lord, who he is, what he's done, and that none of us would be here apart from the grace of Jesus Christ and his love for us. And we may not agree about everything, but we can agree about the big things of who Jesus Christ is. When I think about the truth of the Bible, the theology of the Bible, I often think about it like this. There are certain things in the Bible that are what I call close-handed theology. Like, we live and die for these. This is like Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that he died on the cross for our sins, and we are saved by grace through faith alone, and it is 100% gift and all from Jesus. That's close-handed theology. We live and die for that. But there are other truths in the Bible that are like open-handed theology. And so that might be like, you know, what are the exact events in the end times when Jesus comes back again? There are all these big theological terms for things like that. There's like pre-mill, a-mill, post-millennial, and all this millennial, you know, all these different ideas. And there's like different options of how God may do that at the end. And it's kind of open-handed. You know, there's different, like three different ways that it might happen. We're okay with that. Or there's other areas of open-handed theology, like what is the best worship song to sing in America today for the church in America, all right? Is it How Great Thou Art? Or is it 10,000 Reasons? And by the way, those are the two most popular sung songs in the American church today. How Great Thou Art and 10,000 Reasons. The third song in America today is actually Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, in case you're curious. But we stand firm in the Lord, united with bigger truth in who Jesus Christ is. We also stand firm, leveling up in peace by rejoicing in the Lord with greater praise. There is power in praise. And one of the tools that God gives us to fill us with his peace, no matter what's going on in our relationships, is praise. Look what he says in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So how often are we to rejoice?
Always.
And he says it twice so we don't miss it. And this is really important for us, especially when we're navigating conflict. And here's the reason. Often when we are navigating conflict or disagreement with someone, we have this tendency to speak everything in absolute terms. And so we find ourselves saying things like this to each other. You never do this. Or you always do that. And animosity often strips us of the capacity to find anything good or noble in the person that we're having conflict with. And so I love what the Apostle Paul does. He flips it around on us, and he gives us some different absolutes. Absolute joy to pursue all through the book of Philippians. Absolute rejoicing, where we rejoice always. A little bit later in the verses, he's going to give us absolute celebration of the good when we're walking through conflict with one another. And he's moving us towards God's peace with greater praises. And if you want to think about what this actually is, this would be like The Voice and American Idol on steroids, but through worship, where you actually help navigate disagreements with each other by worshiping together. Think about this. Can we agree that worshiping Christ with greater praises with someone that we actually disagree with might be a great way to guard our hearts and minds with the peace of God? Where maybe in a marriage where you have a disagreement, or with a child, or whatever it may be, but you actually, before you deal with the problem, you try to actually rejoice by praising God together, where our hard hearts melt before his holiness and his grace. And this is what this looks like. This means that if this week you had a really tough week with your spouse, or this week you had a really tough week with one of your children or a friend or a coworker, and you clawed your way here to church today even though you didn't feel like coming, you're living out this verse. You're rejoicing with greater praise than the difficulty of what you're going through in your life right now. Inviting God to fill you with his peace, even in the midst of the storm of the conflict that you are working through with his help. And look at what the greater praise is ultimately about. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Some of your translations might even say his gentleness, let your gentleness be known to everyone instead of reasonableness. And that word gentleness, it means radical evenness of temper. And this is really important when you're working through a conflict and trying to restore a relationship. And I don't want to be too technical, and I've shared this before, but it's worth repeating. It comes from a biblical scholar who's studied this verse quite a bit. And here's what he says. It's a little technical, but I'll explain what they're saying. They say that word known, where it says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. So that word known, they say, has less to do with the behavior of the subject and more to do with the perception of the object. And this is what he means by that. What that means is when you're in a conflict with someone and you think you're being gentle, it doesn't really matter how gentle you think you are if they aren't feeling and experiencing your gentleness. And it's really an invitation to realize that sometimes when we disagree with each other, our self-perception gets skewed. And we think we're coming across one way, and God's inviting us to have a radical gentleness in the face of that. Have you ever apologized to someone, but it was just words? Your heart was really far away from the words? I think that's what it's talking about. Where our heart hasn't caught up to our words and our actions yet. And the person that we're talking to, we're wanting them to experience how we've melted ourselves with what we have done in the moment. And I love what he says next. He says, the Lord is at hand. And he's reminding us, the Bible is reminding us, that God's here right now in the midst of the different relational challenges that we're going through. Do you know that place in the Bible where it says that Jesus is the Lord of the feast? Remember that? And one of the first miracles, or the first miracle that Jesus does in his adult ministry, is he turns water into wine at a party. Remember that? It's a wedding celebration. And he turns the water into wine so the party can become greater. And we know after he does that, that we know that later on, he's actually going to drink the cup of God's wrath on the cross for our sin. So that ultimately, no matter what's going on in life, we can experience God's joy and God's peace now and forever. And in John chapter 2, when it says that Jesus turned the water into wine and he made this party that was dying down into this great party, you almost feel this tension, like, you know, here Jesus is in this party, this great celebration, and that we know he's beginning to sip the cup of God's wrath that's yet to come on him through the cross. And yet the reason he does that is so that right now, when we are in our turmoil and our brokenness and our hurt relationships, we can actually sip the cup of his peace and his joy right now that we're going to experience one day in fullness because of what Jesus Christ has done when we are with him in heaven. And when we ask the Lord to help us to do that by rejoicing with him, we're putting him on the throne once again in our life. And the Bible says to practice these things, to immerse ourselves in letting God build his peace into our life. And so in a moment, when we sing again, I want us to know that we're not just singing a song. We're not even just praising God. We're actually inviting God to fill us with his peace. And in a little bit, we're actually going to sing, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I just invite you, when we do that, to just let God fill your soul with his peace today. We also level up with peace and stand firm by praying with greater thanksgiving. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. But before I continue, I want you to write down right now on a piece of paper everything we're supposed to be anxious about. Are you ready? Go. Are you done? You should be. All right? It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And Paul says, don't be anxious, instead be prayerful with greater thanksgiving. And stand firm in prayer together instead of, you know, sitting in anxiety alone. And pray about everything. And the Bible uses this word that we're not super familiar with anymore. It's called supplication. It simply means to talk to God about all the stuff in life. You know, talk to God about everything that's going on. Because when you talk to God about things, it actually amps up our confidence in God. It amps up our faith in the Lord because we're putting our loving sovereign Savior on the throne of our life. We're even thanking him ahead of time before we even know what the outcomes are going to be in our situation. And that peace guards our hearts and minds. And yet, if you're anything like me, when it comes to praying with greater thankfulness and you have something going on with someone in your life, man, it takes me a long time of talking to God about all the stuff in that issue before I get to the thankfulness part. Anybody there with me? It's okay. It's actually okay to wrestle through the mess in prayer and eventually allow your heart to get to a place of thankfulness. I know sometimes people will say, well, why should I talk to God about everything if he knows everything already? Well, the reason, since God knows everything already, the great thing about that is when you come to him with your stuff, he's not sitting there going, oh, I can't believe you're dealing with that. Instead, he's sitting there going, man, I have been here the whole time, and I love you. And I am so glad that we are talking about this now, because I'm going to walk through this with you as we go through this together. And look at the fruit-filled result when we stand firm in Christ by agreeing in the Lord with greater purpose and rejoicing in the Lord with greater praise and thanking the Lord with greater, or praying with greater thankfulness. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then I think Paul knows we need one more guardrail, if you will, to help us when we're in really difficult disagreements with people. He says in verse 8, finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and what does it say? Practice these things. I have been amazed when I'm looking for it how many times the Bible says practice your faith. Practice inviting God's Spirit into your life and letting Him build these qualities in your life. Practice these spiritual disciplines like being a part of a church family or being in a small group or reading the Bible. Practice them just like you practice the other sports, the sport in your life that you're passionate about. Practice these things with the Lord, because this is a little bit what it's like. I have had the privilege in our family to train all three of our children when they got to driving age. And some of you in the room, you have younger kids, you have yet to look forward to this. It's a thrilling experience, okay? And basically in our house, it was my role to get the children past the chaos stage of driving, and then I kind of handed them off to Amy after that. And the chaos stage of driving goes like this. They're driving, they're brand new, they're at the wheel, you're in the passenger seat, and they come up to a stop sign or a red light, and they just blow past it like it's not even there. And in that moment, you push the imaginary brake on the ground that's not there, and you yell, stop! And so then they stop in the middle of the intersection. It happens. And then you yell, go! And you push the gas pedal that's not there. And you get through the intersection. And then you yell, pull over! Because you have so much anxiety in your life in that moment. With our youngest son, Josh, he was our third to learn how to drive. With him, I don't know if it's like third child rights or something, but I had him on the freeway in like day three, like living on the edge or something. And when Josh was learning to drive, it was a little bit like he lives life. When he walks into a room, you know he's there. And when he was on the freeway, let me tell you, you knew that he was there. There was a bit of anxiety for me. But here's the other reality. With all three of our children, after they had practiced driving for a while, the anxiety got less and less, because I had confidence in what they were doing. And part of what the Lord is inviting us to today is, in the face of our relationships that, yes, sometimes turn upside down, to practice letting God fill us with His peace by agreeing in the Lord with greater purpose and by rejoicing with greater praise and praying with greater thankfulness, and living on offense, no matter which side of a relationship challenge we may be on. And as Philippians chapter 4 ends, it says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of what? Peace will be with you. So I say, let's practice. Let's pray. And then let's praise God with great rejoicing and great thanksgiving. Would you bow your heads with me? I don't know what relational challenge is in front of you right now, but would you just give it to the Lord once again? And invite the Holy Spirit to fill you with the peace of God. And invite Him to train you in connecting your heart to His peace through His Spirit, through worship, through praise, through thanksgiving, to the greater truths of who Jesus is. Father God, as your people, Lord, we just confess to you that we always have some challenges in our relationships around us all the time, and we want your heart in it. We ask you to fill us with your Spirit. We ask you to fill us with your peace. We ask you to continue to shape us into Christ's likeness. And we thank you that it is all by your grace that you take us in our brokenness and you love us and you're there for us with your presence. Thank you for your peace that you love to fill in us, and thank you for being the God of peace that walks with us. In Jesus' name, amen.